Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
I'm excited about the word. We're talking about the power of a song, the power of a song. And tonight is part two. Last Wednesday night was part one. If you weren't with us, you can get that free. Go to our website, download it, and you can find out what we shared last week, last Wednesday night, picking it up tonight, and you can kind of put them both together. We're talking about the power of a song. You say, Pastor, what's that all about? Well, the Bible talks about singing is so powerful in the Bible, right? Let us come into his presence with singing, right? And worship and thanksgiving. Sing a new song to the Lord. You know, we see all through the Bible how powerful singing praises is before the Lord. But I want to go a little step farther, and I want to talk about tonight the power of a song of deliverance. How that God can give us a song for the circumstance that we're in, like Pastor Kim said, and it can set you free. How God can give us a song for us. It's kind of like a right now song, like a right now word. A right now song that when we sing it, it releases God's presence and God's power, and we see things turn around, change. And so I want to talk about that tonight. I'm going to give you a few scriptures. I want to base it on the Word of God, obviously, and then I want to give you some takeaways, okay? But I want to equip you for the times that we're living in. I want to give you the tools to triumph and be victorious in the days that we're living in as well. So let's go to the board. Let's get right into the Word tonight, and we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5. And I love this so much, Ephesians 5, and then we're going to go to Colossians chapter 3. And they kind of go together. So here we go. Wherefore, be not unwise, but be understanding what the will of the Lord is for your life. That's huge, isn't it, that we know God's will for our life. And you can know God's will for your life, for sure. Say, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, as you read God's word, you're reading God's will. And when we do the will that we do know, he'll reveal to us the will that we don't know. That's as simple as I can make it. Just start where you're at, obeying God's word, and you'll end up in the perfect will of God for your life. Oh, I like it. So the next verse, verse 18, it says, and be not drunk with wine. It's a metaphor to natural things, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's continuous action, being filled. It's the Spirit-filled life, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Every day, that's you and I. We want to make sure that we're full of the Holy Spirit. That we don't just say, well, you know, I had that experience 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago. I was filled with the Spirit. No, we're to be filled every day with the Holy Spirit. We're to live a Spirit-filled life, Spirit-led. Next verse, verse 19. Whoa, speak to yourself. Notice that a Spirit-filled life, this is what it looks like. You know, when somebody says, well, we're a Spirit-filled church, well, what does that mean? This is what it means. It means when you say you're Spirit-filled and you're living a Spirit-filled life, it means you're full of the Spirit and you're full of the Word and you're being led by the Spirit and the Word. That's a Spirit-filled life. It's not being spooky or crazy or flaky. It's simply being full of the Holy Spirit every day and full of the Word every day and then be led by the Word and the Spirit and you're living a Spirit-filled life. So notice that when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you speak to yourself. Whoa, self-talk. We hear a lot about that. Self-talk. What are we saying to ourselves? It's not so much what we hear other people saying to us. It's what are we saying to ourselves? Speak to yourself. Psalms. Hymns. This is what a Spirit-filled person does. And spiritual songs. That's where I get my topic for tonight's teaching. Spiritual songs. Songs of deliverance. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So notice that the Spirit-filled life, that one of the tools that God gives us for victory or to live a life of overcoming is songs of deliverance, spiritual songs, songs that the Bible talks about. In the book of Psalms, there are psalms that they sang in the morning. Did you know that? There are songs that they sang at night. There are songs that when they wake up in the middle of the night, read the book of Psalms. There was a psalm to sing in the sanctuary. There was a psalm to sing at your house. There was a psalm to sing on the battlefield. Songs are so important. And notice, as a spirit-filled person, I'm to speak to myself psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in my heart to the Lord. Verse 20, this is a spirit-filled life, giving thanks. Spirit-filled people should be the most thankful people on the planet. Spiritual-filled people that are full of the Spirit, we should be speaking to ourselves psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, asking God for them. And we should be giving thanks, be thankful, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it tells us to be full of the Word. So we just read from Ephesians 5, be full of the Spirit. And how many know that we need both to have a balanced life? You know, somebody said, you know, that if we have too much of the Word, you know, that we'll blow up, you know. And we don't want too much of the Spirit without the Word, or we'll mess up. We need both. We need to be full of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and full of the Word of God, the Bible, Scriptures, every day. That's part of our habits of a successful Christian life. So notice he says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. The Word of Christ is the Word of God. It's the Bible. It's the B-I-B-L-E. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another. Here we go. It says it again. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So that's where I get, you know, if you're new to all this, that's where I get spiritual songs, songs of deliverance. God will give you a phrase. God will give you three or four words. God will give you maybe a whole line or a whole song that's specifically for you, that sets you free and delivers you in the set of circumstances that you are in and gives you the victory. Songs of deliverance. We're to believe God for those. We're to ask God for those. We talked about that last Wednesday night. All right? So let's continue to lay a foundation. Psalm 32, verse 7. You are a hiding place for me. You, Lord, preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs and shouts of deliverance. There it is. I love it. You surround me, you deliver me from trouble with songs and shouts of deliverance. Selah, pause and calmly think of that. So there again, there's three scriptures that talk about spiritual songs, songs of deliverance, songs that God will give to you as a spirit-filled, spirit-led believer, Christian, Christ follower. It's kind of like a right now word. It's a right now song. It, when you sing it, you're releasing your faith. When you sing it, you're releasing the joy of the Lord, the presence of God, the power of God. Some dynamic things take place when that happens. You say, Pastor, where do I start? Ask God. Say, God, you know, I'm just going to ask you, help me. Give me a spiritual song. Give me a word, a phrase. Give me something right now that I need that will set me free and turn my set of circumstances around. This is the tool. This is the weapon of warfare that a lot of people don't know about. That this weapon of warfare, we're going to look at it tonight, it'll work. It'll work. It'll work every time when it's God-led and God-fed. All right? So, songs of deliverance. Job 35 and verse 10. Look what this says. But no one says, where is God my maker, who gives songs? God will give you song of rejoicing in the night. We serve a God that it might be the midnight hour, type and shadow, darkest day of your life, darkest week of your life, darkest season of your life, darkest situation of your life. And what will God do? It says that God will give you at night, in the nighttime, God can wake you up and give you a song of deliverance, a song that will bring joy. And what does joy bring? Strength. What does that do? It gets rid of depression, discouragement, fear, anxiety, and worry. In the middle of the night, he'll give you a song of rejoicing. I love that. That's so awesome. Praise the Lord. Now, if you all need prayer, anybody needs prayer tonight, Don't forget, we have a 24-hour prayer line. People are standing by. You just need to talk to somebody. You want to know more about what I'm talking about? You can get in the chat room and they can give you direction. We're just here to serve you and help you, arm you, equip you for such a time as this. And we're talking about one of the weapons of warfare that God's given to us to win spiritual warfare is spiritual songs, songs of deliverance. Psalm 42, verse 8. Psalm 42, verse 8. I'm just giving you scriptures that establish this premise, this promise. Yet all day long, God's promises of love pour over me. Through the night, I sing his songs. Oh, I like that. I sing his songs. God will give you a song for the night season, that darkest hour, that difficult time that you're going through tonight. I love this. All day long, he pours out his love. And then when you go, isn't it amazing that when you go to bed at night, seemingly that's when the devil will try to torment us with lies and thoughts and try to keep us awake and keep us upset and worrying and anxiety all night long. Aren't you glad that instead of that, God's got a song for you to sing in the night? For my prayer to God has become my life. We're seeing the principle that God gives us spiritual songs that give us victory in the darkest seasons of our life. This is an illustration. This is a story of David and King Saul. And you're going to see that when David comes and plays his harp and sings, the power that is released. Let's look at it. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God, now, it doesn't say that actually in the literal Hebrew, it was allowed, okay, that evil spirit was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Isn't that amazing that through music, through song, it had the power over demons and evil spirits? It had the power to set Saul free from the oppression of that evil spirit? Isn't it amazing that when you go into a room and you can play different kinds of music, different kinds of songs, and it releases a different atmosphere? We know that. It's so true. So here we see in this illustration the power of a song. All right? 2 Chronicles 20. Many of you know this, but this is the story of Jehoshaphat. He was surrounded by the enemy. He was outnumbered, overwhelmed, didn't know what to do. So what did he do? He did what we're going to do in January, a 21-day fast. Now, he didn't go on 21 days, but he said, we're going to fast and pray, and we don't know what to do, but God, our eyes are on you. And that was what he did in response to his situation. So what happened? God gave him, through the prophet, God gave him some directive, some things, a strategy, a plan. And what was it? A song. What? Pastor, really? The power of a song, a spiritual song, a song of the Lord. Look what it says back to the board. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army. And what were they saying? Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. What were they doing? He gave them a song to sing as they were going out to face their enemy. And what did it do? It defeated the enemy. The enemy was set into confusion, and they began to destroy themselves and kill themselves. And then Jehoshaphat and the army went in and got back all that was stolen from them, plus what the enemy had. We call that restoration. So a spiritual song, hymn, melody that God would give to you and me, a weapon for warfare, a tool in our arsenal. If you and I will use that at certain times as we're led by the Spirit, when we do that, it releases the power of God. It releases the presence of God, the peace of God, the joy of God. It releases what? Victory, brings defeat on our enemies, because in his presence, all of our enemies melt like wax, fear, depression, sickness, disease, lack, turmoil. And then what else does it do? It brings restoration. It can bring restoration back to you what the enemy has stolen from you. How cool is that? Amen? I think that deserves a praise break, all right? So we see, goes on, and when they began to sing and they began to praise the Lord, the song that God gave them, praise ye the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Just that phrase. And you know what? I've seen it. I've heard it. I've heard people tell me about it. I've had it happen in my own life that God would just give you a phrase to sing over and over again. And miracles happen. Maybe it's just two or three words. Or maybe it's five or six words. Or maybe it's a longer phrase or sentence or two or three sentences. And as you begin to sing that, what happens? Miracles, breakthroughs, turnaround. Wow, look at this. So they begin to sing and they begin to praise. And the Lord, remember, the Lord said, it's not your battle, it's mine. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were all smitten, defeated, destroyed, their enemies. Through how? A song of deliverance, a spiritual song, a song given to them by God, by the Spirit. I love that. So 1 Corinthians 14:15. Let's look at this. This is now New Testament, and 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 deal with the gifts of the Spirit. He's talking to Spirit-filled people at the church at Corinth, and look what he says. He says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with my understanding also. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing also with the understanding. Notice what he's saying here is that he prays in the language that he understands, but also he prays in the Spirit in a language he doesn't understand. Notice he says he'll sing in the Spirit, and he'll sing with understanding. You can sing in tongues as well, by the way. You can sing in your known language or an unknown language. It doesn't have to be the language that you're familiar with, that God can give you a phrase in an unknown tongue that you begin to sing that. You begin to sing in your prayer language, begin to sing in the Spirit, and what happens? Oh, my goodness, supernatural, power of God, things turn around, enemies defeated, peace, joy, victory comes, restoration comes for you. How awesome is that? It's a weapon for warfare. And you and I right now, we are in spiritual warfare, and we need to know our weapons. And for many of you, this is brand new. You've never done this before. I just want to encourage you, step out. Step out in faith and begin to ask God. Just start out praising God in what you know and how to praise him. And then just begin to ask God to give you a spiritual song, a hymn, a melody that will bring deliverance, that will bring healing, that will bring restoration, that will bring peace, that will bring a breakthrough. I remember an illustration. I remember, many of you know the story of Stephen, our youngest son. He's now in his 30s, but when he was born early, and they said he wasn't going to live. And he was in St. Louis Children's Hospital. And I remember that Kim, she was in St. Luke's Hospital, and Stephen was down in St. Louis Children's Hospital in an incubator. They said he wouldn't live throughout the night. He wouldn't live 24 hours. I can remember Kim called me up. I was at home. I had been with them both off and on. I went home to rest. And I remember that Kim called me up and she said, Dave, get down to the hospital and lay hands on Stephen. He's in an incubator, but lay hands on him. Put all the garb on you had to put on. And I want you to pray over him. All right. I said, okay. So I got in my car. I'll never forget. It was a rainy, dreary day. It was depressing in the natural. We had just started Church on the Rock. We had 50 members. And I had a little boy that was with babysitters. I had my wife in one hospital and my newborn son in another hospital, and they said he wasn't going to live. Could be a big giant, right? A big battle. I think it major, major. But I'll never forget that when I went down there to pray for Stephen, they had KSHE 95, and if you're in the St. Louis area, you know that station. It's hard rock and roll. They had that blasting in the nursery where they had all these babies on incubators, and they had that blasting. And I don't know what happened, but spiritual boldness rolled up in me, and I just yelled, "Turn that off!" I yelled that, and you know what they did? I might have scared them. And you know what I began to do? I sang softly into Stephen. He was in that little incubator. I had all the garb I had to have on. I had my hands on. They had these little things. You put your hands inside the incubator. And I had my hands on him. And I sang this. Jesus loves you. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. I began to sing that song. I began to sing that. It came up out of my spirit. I wasn't thinking about it. I hadn't thought all the way down, I'm going to sing that song. It just came up out of my spirit. Spirit-filled, Spirit-led. Full of Spirit, full of the Word. That's where you start. It just came up out of my spirit. And you know what that was? That was a spiritual song. That was a song of deliverance. And Stephen, praise God, God delivered him. God healed him. And he's doing great today, 30 years later. What was that? A song of victory, a song of deliverance, a song that brought breakthrough and life and healing into his little body. So I know it works. Nobody can tell me it doesn't work. I've seen it work. It's too late to tell me it doesn't work. So I will pray in the Spirit. I'll pray with my understanding. I'll sing with the Spirit. I'll sing with my understanding. One thing I want to bring out is notice, I will. I will. I like that. You know, I grew up in Pentecost, and so you know, I'm familiar with a lot of these verses growing up, and I've seen a lot of things growing up in full gospel churches, and I thank God for my heritage. But this was always, you know, I'd have people growing up when I was a little kid say, you know, you can't turn the Holy Spirit on or off. You can't just pray in the Spirit when you want to pray in the Spirit. You can't just sing in the Spirit when you want to sing in the Spirit. You can't turn the Holy Spirit off and on. Well, I've come to this conclusion. He's on. He's on all the time. I've just got to get in the flow with him. He's not off and on. He's on all the time. As Christians, we're Spirit-filled. The Holy Spirit lives in us. He's alive and well, the greater one. And so what we have to do is decide as an act of our will, I will. I'm going to flow with the Spirit. I'm going to obey the Spirit. I'm going to be led by the Spirit. I choose to sing in the Spirit. I choose to pray with my understanding. I choose to pray in the Spirit. I choose to sing in the Spirit, and I choose to sing with my understanding. It's an act of your will. It's a choice. So that's where it starts, right? You get full of the Word, get full of the Spirit, Spirit-filled life. Led by the Holy Spirit, yield to the Holy Spirit, ask God for a spiritual song, hymn, melody, that will bring the breakthrough that maybe nothing else has worked. You know, there are things in our lives sometimes that different tools, different weapons, different armor is for different seasons and different situations. And so I'm sharing with you last Wednesday night and tonight, here's another tool. Here's another weapon for warfare, songs of deliverance, songs of victory, the power of a song. I love that, don't you? So as we go over here to the board again, I want to give you the benefits as we close. And Josh is going to come out, okay? So the benefits of that spiritual song, that song of deliverance, the benefits of yielding to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, give me a song for my marriage, for my children, for my health, for my job, for my career, for my future, for wisdom. Holy Spirit, because you can be specific. And so, number one, it brings in God's presence. It brings in God's presence. You know, I love, you know, Kim and I last night, we were out, we came home to our house, and we walked in, and we both said, wow, isn't it awesome to have the presence of God? When you walk in your house, you can just feel, sense the tangible presence of God, the glory of the Lord. And I tell you right now with COVID, right now with all this going on, with everything that's happening, all of us need to make sure that our homes are full of the presence of God. We really do. So singing in the Spirit will bring the presence of God in the atmosphere. It releases it. The second benefit is it defeats the enemy. All of these are a conclusion of what we studied tonight in all these scriptures. Just like Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel, God gave them a song. And what did it do? It brought God's presence. A song was specific. What was it? A few words. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Many of you have heard me share this before, but my pastor, John Osteen, who's in heaven, they said that was the last thing he had said on this earth. Can you imagine? They said the last thing he said, his son-in-law was with him sitting on the floor of their living room, And the last thing that John Osteen said, this is what I was told, is he said, praise ye the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Took his last breath, fell over and died. Oh my goodness. And so, look, God gave them a specific song. It wasn't a whole lot of words. It was just a few words, and they defeated the enemy, didn't they? The children of Israel and Jehoshaphat, they defeated the enemy. And then what else did they do? It brought restoration. They not only got all their spoil back, but they got the spoil of the enemy, restoration. So I just want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you to stay with me for just a few more remaining moments. As we end the service tonight, I want to make sure that I give everybody here and all over the planet an opportunity to meet Jesus, to make Jesus Lord of your life. If you're watching tonight, you're listening tonight, and you've never given your life to God, tonight's your night to do that, because he alone can bring the peace, the joy, the comfort that you're looking for, the purpose that you're looking for in your life, the reason, the why that you're here. Yeah. He and he alone can comfort you when you're comfortless. He can strengthen you when you're weak. He can encourage you when you're discouraged. He can do what no one else can do. Open up your heart and let him in tonight. Or you say, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but wow, I realize that I need to make some adjustments, some corrections. I need to get some things right with God. I want a fresh commitment. I want, as we end this year, I want to go to the new year with a fresh new commitment. God's dealing with me about some issues I need to get right. Pastor, pray for me. Tonight for me is a prayer of rededication, recommitment, fresh commitment, dedication. Wherever you're at, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And when you pray this prayer, punch the button on your screen. There's instructions on the screen right now. Go ahead, because that's an act of faith. Faith is an act. You know, we're not here in the sanctuary where we would ask you to come forward. So we're kind of actually asking you to come forward by pressing the button on the screen right there. You're taking a step of faith, and God will honor that. All right, so let's all pray this prayer right now. Can you say it with me? Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me, and he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now. Jesus is Lord over my life. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.